Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
You're listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, a show where we discuss trends, marketing, pop culture, and Super Bowl 58. I'm Luz Corona, Adweek Community Editor, and tonight I am joined by Al Manarino, Senior Producer of the Adweek Podcast Network, and we have a whole slate of incredible guests for the night. But Al, first, how are you?
I'm good. I'm tired, but I'm great.
Tired. For our listeners, we do record this podcast. This is the once a year that we do this right after the Super Bowl. It is 12 o'clock at night, and we are here pumped to talk about the ads of the night. Joining us for part one of our special Super Bowl episode are our colleagues and friends, otherwise known as the TV Dream Team of Adweek, Deputy TV Editor Bill Bradley, and Senior TV Reporter Molly Cahillane. Friends, how are you?
Wow. Tired, but thrilled to be here.
Silence.
Thrilled to be here.
Yeah.
Tired.
No, it's going to be super special. I think it'll be great.
Super special Super Bowl. Say that five times fast.
Well, I just first, before we dive in, I think we all worked really hard, not just tonight, but leading up to this big day. This is obviously a very big day for Adweek, and I feel like all hands were on deck, and especially you two that are on the TV beat. So hats off to you.
Wow, thanks. Wow, that's so nice. We should do this all the time.
I mean it.
Okay,
just give Bill compliments all the time.
Oh, yeah, we this love is Bill. Great.
Well, let's get right to it. Let's dive into the ads of this year. First of all, different streams. Just want to double check. What did we all watch? I watched the Televisa Univision one.
I watched the
CBS broadcast.
Bill, what about you?
Nickelodeon for me. All the way.
Yeah, let's go, Bill.
Is that what you watched, Al?
I did, yeah. I was on the Nickelodeon stream. I watched the Kansas City Chiefs. We have not mentioned it. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs. And Patrick Mahomes for winning the coveted MVP, the Nickelodeon Valuable Player Award. Nickelodeon is
biggest award of the night, yeah.
It's the biggest award
of the night. Definitely, along with the probablys. Which we'll get into in the next segment.
That's right.
Okay. And tonight was an exciting game because there was an overtime, which I think was the second overtime ever in Super Bowl history. So, first of all, I'd love to ask you two, Bill and Molly, what does that mean for ads? Like, when that happens, when there's an overtime, like, what does this mean?
It means the TV team is very tired. But what it actually means is that there's additional ads and additional inventory available, which, I mean, the Super Bowl has only gone into overtime twice. Tonight was the second time, so you were right about that. The other time was 2017. But we have confirmed that CBS had a contingency plan for overtime, so those spots were sold. But there were five additional spots that aired on CBS. I don't know about the Nick broadcast. We haven't checked in on that yet. Bill might have a little more info there. But that's an extra $35 million in revenue for CBS.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I can tell you about the Nick broadcast. If you're juicy drop gummy dipping sticks, you had a great night. over on Nick.
Was that as far, made with AI?
I will say, as far as the ads on Nick, though, a lot of them had like weren't made specifically for the broadcast. So they had a bunch of stuff that was like stuff that had aired previously. So, you know, with a whole arsenal of that stuff, they can just, you know, go through that as much as they want.
I wanted to ask you about that, Bill, because I was also watching the Nickelodeon broadcast and I noticed a lot of repeat ads, and not in the sense of like they're continuing a larger campaign, but like I didn't see the Paramount Plus ad that I love so much with Hey Arnold and everyone else that is also in it, including Peppa and Josh Tua Tagovailoa. I kept seeing the one with Josh Allen and Peppa Pig and the Transformers. I saw like three times. So what's the mindset there? Is this just like we can only use certain ads for this broadcast and the inventory we've already gone through? Like what is that, do you think?
You know, I don't know the policy at Nickelodeon about like throwing children into a mountain, but I probably think like that might have had something to do with it, because Hey Arnold gets launched into the side of Paramount Mountain. But what I will say is that Nickelodeon coming into this game had, 15 to 20 spots that were specifically for Nickelodeon. They can't show Ice Spice and Starry ad. They can't show Mountain Dew and like sugary drinks. So they had specific ads made for a family friendly audience. So that's why we sort of got, you know, Push Pop Gummy Poppets candy.
Made with AI.
Which looks great. It looks great, but it's just like, yeah, that's sort of the ads that you were getting. You're not getting Deadpool 3. You're getting an Inside Out 2 promo that came out, you know, a week or two ago.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. I didn't see. This is what I missed.
Inside Out 2 promo did run in the post game on CBS, though.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Well, there were quite a few big combos of the night. I would say I brought this up earlier. Al did not agree with me, but Beyonce and Verizon, I mean, I think because we were all like super set on the teasers and she was in them and we all thought it was going to be a great big announcement, but instead it was just like a very humorous ad.
She announced new music with it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but I think people were expecting like bigger. I don't know.
Bigger than a new Beyonce album?
You know what? I was hanging out with Colin all night and he thought they were going to announce a Vegas residency. So this is where I'm getting my information, guys.
That's very on brand for Colin. I will say she did the announcement on Instagram, though, right? She didn't do it in the ad.
Correct.
So I think that probably has something to do with that, too.
Yeah, I think the ad ended with something like, okay, drop a new music. Maybe this will break the internet. And that was when the like social post went. But I think I would agree it could have been a lot more clear that that's what was happening. Mm-hmm. Like my friend's group chat was lighting up about like, guys, Beyonce dropped a new album and CBS isn't even talking about it. And it's like, well, CBS wasn't entirely sure that's what she was going to do because Verizon was so tight-lipped about the ad.
Right. Yeah.
Nickelodeon didn't talk about it either. They were making a ton of Taylor Swift puns and trying to get Larry the Lobster off the field before he interfered with the game.
You know, someone's got to keep track of Larry. I'm sorry, but like the game is going on and Larry's running across the field. And I'm like,
I thought he was going to run the ball for San Fran at one point.
Okay, so Nick had Larry the Lobster on the field and CBS had a streaker. So,
oh, yeah, yeah. So Nickelodeon cut to the booth when that was happening. They didn't address it at all.
It's not
this
family
is the
friendly.
First
the
I'm
streaker
hearing
didn't
of it.
Dress either, yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah, you didn't know.
First I'm hearing of it.
Wow.
Wow. What is the contingency? Like, they have to plan for that. They have to plan.
Yeah, they just went to SpongeBob and just were like, hey, let's shoot the shit a little bit. And he did what he did.
SpongeBob wouldn't say shit.
No.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
No sodas and no streakers. That's two rules for Nickelodeon.
There you go.
And another thing that I noticed, and Kyle O'Brien just published a really great write-up on this, is that Ogilvy pitched big ideas and landed three buzzy Super Bowl ads, one of them being Beyonce, and the other two were pretty buzzy as well. So honestly, they have my vote. I feel like they also won the night along with the Kansas City Chiefs.
What do you guys say? And Taylor Swift won the night.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think Ogilvy had a phenomenal night. And I've been talking about this ad since it came out, but the Dove ad.
Oh, so good.
I love that ad. I talked about it on the podcast Luz and I were on last week.
Yeah.
But it's a 30-second spot about a study they did that found that
45% of girls drop out of sports by the time they turn 14 because of low body confidence. And so Dove did this with It's a Hard Knock Life and a bunch of young girls just falling in every kind of sport. And it was about getting back up and that body confidence. And I think it was really, really powerful, especially in a year where you're seeing more and more women and young girls watching the NFL, to have that run and see them for young girls to see themselves reflected on the biggest stage in the world. So I thought Ogilvy killed it with that. And it was also Dove's first time back in the Super Bowl in for 18 years. Yeah. So what a way to make an entrance. Like, I don't – Adweek didn't rank that as the number one ad of the big game, but for me, that was my number one.
Yes. Honestly, I think that's pretty solid. Bill and Al, what about you? The other two that they did for reference that Ogilvy did was CeraVe and the Verizon Beyonce commercial.
Yeah, I think the Michael Cera ad was just like perfect. They did awesome lead up to it. There were a lot of like buzzy TikToks of Michael Cera with CeraVe lotion, and sometimes you have a pun and it's just like it works. Unlike, you know, Dr. Umstick tonight for drumstick.
Oh my
god. Like, who looked at that and thought Dr. Umstick? That's what we'll go with.
Yeah. What? And they had a really funny guy. They had Eric Andre for that.
Yeah. Who didn't do any, like, they didn't let him do anything. He was pretty much just looking uncomfortable on a plane. Probably because he also didn't like the pun. But yeah.
Al, what about you? Any thoughts on those ads?
Yeah, I mean, as you previously mentioned, our 13 best Super Bowl ads, those three ads all landed on the list, so you have to give it to Ogilvy for that. That's a lot of incredible creatives working together to come up with some really cool and memorable stuff. So the CeraVe one, like, we knew going in that it is going to be something memorable because of just the weirdness of it. And then everyone was highly anticipating whatever Verizon and Beyonce were going to cook up together. And I think it exceeded my expectations for sure. And then Dove, and you know, Molly said it more eloquently than I would, but just like, you know, coming back from that long of an absence to do something that impactful, great. So yeah, Ogilvy knocked it out of the park.
They won, and the Kansas City Chiefs, and
the Chiefs, and Taylor, and Beyonce,
and Taylor. Yeah, I love the Dove ad too. I'm not going to say anything Molly hasn't said, but no, it really struck with me too. And it was really beautiful. Okay. Any outstanding trends of the night? Did you guys see, like, anything? I have one. It's pretty meaningless, but I will wait and I'll let you guys go first about a trend or something that you saw throughout the night. Bill, do you want to kick us off?
Sure. I'll kick us off with a trend that I want to get everyone's opinion on. Flashdance was used twice in two different ads.
Interesting.
What's up with that? So,
by the way, that's the name of that? Bill's spinoff podcast that we're launching later this year. What's up with that?
What's up with
yeah,
that?
Yeah, stay tuned. Oh God, stay tuned.
I would watch.
But really, what is up with that? Because it was a nerd just like, you know, showering nerds on itself. And then you had Jason Momoa, Aquaman, getting covered in water. And it's like between the two of them, you got to go with Aquaman. But I'm just like, I don't understand why 1983 Flashdance, that was the song to go with.
Yeah. Also, they had Jennifer Beals in the T-Mobile ad, too, for Flashdance, which I was like, what is the girl from the L Word doing there? And our CEO had to be like, no, she was in Flashdance, Molly. And I was like, yeah. Oh.
she's the Flash Dancer, yeah.
Okay, she doesn't age, by the way. Luz is sitting across from me, like, losing her mind right now. Sorry, we live in different universes, apparently. But anyways, I will say that, like, both of them using Flashdance as the theme of their ad is surprising. What's up with that, Bill? You're right. But also, it was Nerd's first time in the Super Bowl. So I'm a little bit like, oh, no. Like, they had a very similar idea also used by T-Mobile, which is a juggernaut in the advertising world. And Nerds is like, hey, we're here in the Super Bowl. Oh, crap.
Yeah. I know. And we had them on earlier in the podcast and they were like super hyped. And it was like a whole year like in the making and everything. So,
wow.
Yeah. What, like, it's like the equivalent kind of like showing up to the prom with the same dress, which actually happened to me, guys. I don't want to talk about it.
We did it.
Whoa.
Yeah, it really did. I know. But this is the equivalent of it in the Super Bowl. But either way, you know, good effort. Right.
In my high school, we had a shared Google Docs where you put what dress you bought for prom so that nobody else would buy the same one.
Are you saying that's what brands should do?
That's what brands should do. Like, a shared Google Doc.
Nerds, I'm using this. Don't use it.
No flash dance for
that's
you.
That's actually a great idea, though.
That's great. That is a great idea.
The trend that I'm just going to jump in. The trend that I saw, and I think it's kind of been like an ongoing trend over the years, is the way that brands think that if we just add more celebrities to the ad, it's going to be better. Like, oh, they used one celebrity, we'll use two, or we'll use four or five or whatever. And I think it's varying successes. Like the Duncan ad I thought was great and it had a lot of celebrities, but the way that they built off the relationships of those celebrities, it wasn't like, let's just put five celebrities together that have no connection whatsoever but are really, really famous. That's when it kind of gets like the message gets lost because there's no – you're not grounding people to that relationship. The Duncan one works because you had Matt Damon and Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez, and there's this super – and even Tom Brady. Like Tom Brady has done skits with them in the past. Like there is a – and the Boston part of it all too is like there's a relationship there that we gravitate towards. But like – Dan Levy and Heidi Gardner from SNL in an ad that perplexed or an ad campaign that perplexed me to no end, but that just didn't work. And I don't think more celebrities doesn't necessarily mean more success, but it's like they have to make sense. The was it Uber Eats, the one with Jennifer Aniston and David Schwimmer, that made sense.
Yeah,
there was a reason for them to both be there, and they had other celebrities in there too. But it worked in that instance. I every year it feels like we keep adding more and more and more celebrities to this, and I don't think it's ever going to change. But at the same time, they need to do more like Dunkin' and more like Uber Eats and less like Homes.com in that instance.
Yeah. Robert Clara had a really, really good piece on that for Adweek.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely check that out.
Adweek.com. Great website.
Adweek.com. And it was, I believe, and I just hear Robert's voice. I think the headline was, "When is enough enough?" I think that was in the headline.
Wow. It probably was.
Yeah, like about celebs. Yeah.
I mean, it's a Clara special. There is nothing like what.
That's what, yeah, we call it, yeah, for our listeners, we call it a Clara special. Definitely, just honestly, Google Robert Clara Adweek and just read all his stuff. But that piece was really great. My trend of the night, and I don't even want to waste any time on this. What was Dan Marino doing in like two ads? I just like, what was that? Like, wait, what is it, Bill?
What's up with that?
I just want to record that and just use it. What's up with that?
It's a new
sound. Put me
sound.
In the sound effects, Al. Come on.
No, yeah. Do not do that. Do not give Al access to that.
I don't have access to the sound effects right now.
What's up with that?
What's up with that? Like, I'll start talking in the office and Al will just hit the button. What's up with that?
Yeah. All right. Moving on. There's so much to discuss, but it's late, so we will not discuss all of it. But breakout star of the night. And this could be the most memorable ad or part of the Super Bowl, including halftime show. It could be the streaker that didn't show up on Nickelodeon, but on CBS. You know, what was the most memorable part of the night? Alfred, let's start with you.
Oh, man, I'm so biased because I watched the Nickelodeon stream. Man,
all of it.
The best moment of honestly, the commitment that Nickelodeon had for this broadcast, there's so many layers of how well executed it was, honestly. Each quarter, they did, like when it got to the second quarter, it goes second quarter, just like they did in SpongeBob, and had the title card. Like, that's really, really clever and cute.
Oh,
and like for
I love that.
like diehard SpongeBob fans, like, that's so great. And people and kids who still watch it, you know, whatever for them. But as a 33-year-old man who loves SpongeBob and is introducing it to his 5-year-old right now, that was great. Also, other things that were really cool were throughout the game, they were like actually teaching kids about football and about the sport. Aww. And about the rules. And like when there was a penalty, Dora and Boots would pop up and explain what the penalty was.
Well, and I don't mean to jump in here, but I want to just say, Dora and Boots were roasting, like hardcore roasting the teams for getting penalties.
Yeah.
They were like, someone would do a false start and Dora would be like, where are we going? Back 5 yards. And it was just like, I was just like, oh man. Like, I wonder if Travis Kelce knows it. Oh, and the whole game, they were just calling Travis Kelce Taylor Swift's boyfriend. So I'm. Yeah. The whole game.
The whole game was filled with Taylor Swift puns from the commentators. And then like the voice actors, I don't know if they necessarily got the original voice actors. Bill, you'll have to let me know.
They did. Oh, yeah.
Thank God for SpongeBob and Patrick. It's great because they were like commentating on the fly in character, and they were using like famous quotes from even the actual commentators were also using like famous SpongeBob quotes and other like references to other Nickelodeon shows, like all that. And Drake and Josh and stuff. It was just, again, it was really, really well done. I mentioned it. I don't know if I mentioned it before or later that this is the way to watch football from now on for me. Like, do this for every game.
Yes.
It's great.
Yes. For sure.
I'm down.
I feel scammed for watching the CBS broadcast. Mm-hmm. I feel like I should have been watching the Nick one.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is you're definitely getting a lot of like sugary ads. It's going to be nothing but Lunchables. Yep. It's going to be nothing but push-up pop, gummy pop, candy, push-its,
Lego,
and all that stuff.
Bluey toys.
I like candy and Legos.
Yeah, me too.
Same.
I'm forced to, though, because I have.
Yeah, I don't have a child. Yeah. I just am a child.
Actually, this was like 10 conversations ago. But Taylor, did the footage live up to the hype? I thought it did. Molly?
I mean, depends on what the hype is. Like, you have the people that were really mad that she was even going to be there and there would be any screen time devoted to her.
Yeah.
I mean, in the office, in the war room tonight, we literally were like, Taylor, on screen!
Yeah, me too. That's when I looked, too. Yeah. I was like, there she is.
But it would be, like, little two-second things. Yeah. But it was, I was personally delighted to see her on screen.
Of course.
And then you had the viral moment, which wasn't on the CBS broadcast, which was a bummer. But it was literally her chugging what looked like a beer. Maybe it was sparkling water. Who knows? And, like, slamming it down. And, like, people are, like, super mad about it. But whatever. It's fun.
It's fun. Everybody
it's fun.
Just chug a beer and
just
let it.
Chug a beer and get over it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't think there was any hype. Like, we talked about this last week that if they had gotten engaged on camera or something, like, that would have been very annoying.
Yeah.
Let's not do that.
Yeah.
This isn't The Bachelor. Like, you're not getting engaged. Come on.
That's on ABC, not CBS.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I think it lived up to the hype. We got to see her. That was it.
She looked great.
She looked great.
Her first Super Bowl, and she won it. So congrats to Taylor.
Congrats
to her rookie year.
What, like it's hard? she flew from Japan to get to the Super Bowl and looked better than any other human at the Super Bowl. Like, come on.
She landed 2 hours before kickoff.
Yeah,
what the hell?
Crazy. And exactly. Got to chug a beer.
Got to chug a beer. Yeah. And we're in the office at 12:40.
One thing I wanted to ask you guys, and then I promise we'll let you go. But I think it's very interesting because we, the Adweek team, we have to be careful of what we call a Super Bowl ad because there are rules and regulations as to what counts. So technically, it's not an ad until after kickoff, right? And anything before that, you might think it was like a really cool spot or whatever. It's not a Super Bowl ad. Afterwards, when does it end? Is it once the game is over?
Once the game is over.
Yeah.
Including overtime?
Overtime counts as Super Bowl ads.
Gotcha. Okay. So I wanted to ask, what was your favorite ad of the night that wasn't really an ad? Molly.
Ooh. I mean, are we counting regional spots?
Yeah, definitely. They were like some of the best ones, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I personally really like the Cetaphil ad. I know there's some stuff going on with it right now, but like I watched that a couple days ago and I sent it to my dad.
Yeah.
And was like, this makes me think of you. And then ads that weren't ads, the Paramount Plus one, we've already talked about it. Like, that's technically a promo because anything that like Paramount properties ran is a promo, not an ad.
Gotcha.
But loved it. I mean, we've already talked about Hey Arnold, like smashing into the wall, but like Creed, Drew Barrymore, Patrick Stewart. Paramount told me that like the line when Patrick Stewart looks at Drew Barrymore and goes, "Shut your face, Barrymore," was totally ad-libbed.
No way. Yeah.
Like, wow. Drew had no idea that was happening and they ended up using it. So I love that.
Wow. I love that behind the scenes stuff.
Best ad. How did it not be number one? It was number two, by the way.
Because it's not technically an ad.
It's the best.
Because it didn't air on Nickelodeon, that's why.
That's right.
There you go.
My favorite ad that wasn't an ad, I would say the Wrexham stock coffee spot was pretty great with Anthony Hopkins.
Ooh, I love that one.
Yeah, wearing the Wrexham mascot outfit. That was pretty fantastic. And then honestly, just Plankton's giant robot, which constantly made its way onto the field and had bubble butt.
Yeah. What?
Another fun
Very
joke.
Deep.
That's
Very
hey,
deep.
SpongeBob's where it's not mine.
Another fun joke throughout the Nickelodeon broadcast, which, guys, only way to watch football, is they kept cutting to Squidward, who was in the line to get in the bathroom.
Oh.
And he missed like the whole game. And then when he finally got to his seat, there was a giant person in front of him, so he couldn't see the game.
That is excellent. Hilarious.
Just chef's kiss, like incredible.
Wow. Squidward cannot catch a break.
We should do a live commentary next year watching the Nickelodeon stream.
Seriously, I would love to. Something we didn't get to talk to the TV team about and was the movie trailers, which is something we definitely should talk to you guys about before we fall asleep or pass out. I don't know what's going to actually happen first. There were a ton of spots for different movies. I don't know if I saw necessarily a lot of TV spots, but again, I was watching Nickelodeon broadcast. Can you guys give us some of the highlights and things that people should check out if they may have missed?
Molly, what do you think?
Well, there were a couple TV spots. Knuckles, the Sonic the Hedgehog spinoff, was one. But in
streaming
terms of
on
trailer,
Paramount.
Streaming on Paramount. So it's a promo, not a spot, guys.
Same.
But I think probably the buzziest movie trailer of the night was Wicked.
Ooh, I saw people chatting
about that, yeah.
Yeah, they ran that very early in the game. I think it was like the first pod of the first quarter. But 60 seconds, first glimpse into Wicked, which has been delayed for so many years and is actually finally coming out this year. First part of it. They're doing two parts.
With Ariana Grande?
It is with Ariana Grande.
All the drama.
And then we actually got our first glimpse into Deadpool 3, too.
Yeah.
Deadpool 3, not 2, which we got the name for it, Deadpool and Wolverine. So Hugh Jackman's coming. It's going to be great.
Amazing.
Yeah, I was going to say Deadpool, I think, was the buzziest that I saw. Only because people were really anticipating it. Like, Disney was sort of hyping it up as we were getting closer. And it's the first R-rated MCU movie. So,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff going on there.
I'm glad they're letting them like keep the Deadpool like rated R brand as they bring it into the MCU.
It wouldn't be
Deadpool without that, right?
I could do a whole podcast about how excited I am about this movie. Those were two great trailers. Like I knew Wicked was coming, and then once it hit the screen, like I got that same feeling I felt like when we did know about all of these ads in advance, and like we finally like saw these spots for the first time. That's how I felt about Wicked, because I did not watch it in advance. I was so excited about it when it was happening, because I was like, I saw this like 10 years ago on Broadway. Like, I've been waiting for this adaptation for so long, and it was crazy to finally see it. But the Deadpool Wolverine trailer was it is a huge movie for that studio. Like, it is not make or break, but they're in like a huge inflection point right now. This is a big movie for them. If this doesn't go right, there's going to be some issues there. Wow. So yeah, very excited about both of those. Yeah, I was kind of surprised about the lack of TV in the sense of like, you know, I know you mentioned Knuckles. Was there anything else out there or was it
Shogun?
So
Shogun, right? that's going to be on FX at the end of the month. It's their most expensive series ever. It's been in the works for years, I think more than a decade at this point. Yeah. So like, they have a lot riding on that for them. Like, I guess an extra $7 million for a Super Bowl spot. They're like, whatever, let's do it. So
we spent $7 million on 10 seconds of the show.
So I guess we'll see, but I mean, it's getting good reviews. Like, it's FX's attempt at Game of Thrones. So
yeah.
Have you seen the first episode yet?
Yeah, I have. I don't know. Can I say stuff on here about it? I'm not sure.
Is it embargoed?
It was embargoed.
So don't mention it. I don't want you to get in trouble.
I won't mention it.
I was going to say, I will say that they were promoting it as early as San Diego Comic-Con, which I attended, and they had a big presence there for that show. So they haven't stopped kind of promoting it, and I think they're really trying to make sure audiences tune in for it, because it does sound like a very expensive and, you know, hugely creative endeavor for them.
Oh, they've been promoting this forever, like at the Disney Upfront that Bill and I were at earlier in the year. Not earlier in the year, literally last year. They had a bunch of actors like from the set just do like, Bill, how would you even describe it? Like, we were like taken over by the cast of Shogun.
So they had 100 samurai warriors come through the crowd and sword fight their way onto the stage. So it was awesome. It was actually really, really great. So yeah.
And that was almost a year ago.
Yeah. I mean, they announced this back in, I don't know, they started working on it like a decade ago. I think they officially announced it like back in 2019, and now it's finally coming to air. So yeah, it looks beautiful. So end of this month.
And before we let you guys go and we continue this podcast with some other special guests that we're very excited about, what do you guys like kind of rate this Super Bowl from past like coverage that you've had in the past? Like, how do you think the Super Bowl did from an ad perspective, from a TV perspective, movies? Was this what you expected? Did it go above your expectations? Just give us like an overall feeling of how you guys felt about this Super Bowl.
Molly, what do you think?
Universal Pictures had a ton of ads for their upcoming movies. So a lot of movie presence. In terms of how I felt about it overall, I was actually talking about this in the newsroom earlier. I don't know if it's like that we've lost the magic of the ads because we see them all before they come out, like whether they're publicly released or we get them privately, but we'd seen 90% of the ads. So seeing them live on screen, like, it lost a bit of the magic. I also do think the ads in general were a little weaker this year.
Yeah, it seems like people are playing it like safe, kind of, right? Like, didn't you write about that? Like, I feel like I saw
think it was me, but someone else did.
Someone else did, like, about how post pandemic, like, everyone's kind of leaning towards like distraction and humor,
and that's why throwing in a million and one celebrities is the get instead of like some of the best Super Bowl ads don't have celebrities in them.
Yep.
No, they have frogs. Yeah. Like Dove. They're frogs burping about beer. That's what we need to get back to.
Yeah,
that's what I think would
revive the Super
Bowl.
We used to be a proper country.
Yeah, and for anyone who may have missed it, actually, I was reading this before we started the day's festivities. But Terry Stanley and Brittany Kiefer wrote a really great write up about like kind of the 20 most groundbreaking Super Bowl ads. The frogs were on there.
I love that story.
There you go.
The Old Spice guy was on there, which is a little teaser for what we have coming up next. And Independence Day, I did not know that was the first movie trailer to ever show during a Super Bowl. And they like tweaked it to the Super Bowl. This is going to be the last one you may watch. You know, that was kind of messaging was on there. So it was just it's interesting to hear you guys talk about the movie trailers. And that's when it started back then. But I say all this to say that people should check out that article, too.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Very good. Adweek.com. We got it all.
Great site.
Bill, Molly, thank you guys so much. Now we will let you go to sleep.
Good night.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Great job tonight, guys.
Yeah, check out Bill and Molly's coverage on adweek.com or follow them on social. We'll make sure to tag them in the show notes. Thank you both, and happy Super Bowl.
Happy Super Bowl.
Happy Super Bowl.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we will be joined by two very special guests. Stay tuned.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hats because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And we're back. Thank you, listeners, for joining us for the second half of this episode. We are so excited to have actor Isaiah Mustafa, you may know him as the Old Spice guy, and Ella CEO and founder Erin Gallagher, also the mastermind behind the viral Hype Women movement, as they join us to discuss their hot takes of the night and help us with our first annual Probleys Awards. I'd like to welcome Isaiah Mustafa and Erin Gallagher. And Al, welcome back again.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm glad I wasn't dropped at halftime.
Isaiah and Erin, how are you guys today? Thank you so much for bearing with us and joining us so late and after the game.
Doing well. Doing well.
Doing great. We're plugging along here, and like I told y'all, like, children are hopefully going to stay out of the room, and we'll see. But we're still here. We're still here.
Hey, we'll see. We would love their takes too. You know, we'll roll with the punches if they come on. But we're super excited to have you both here, just given your expertise and your industry experience. So let's hop to it. First of all, I wanted to ask, where did you guys watch the Super Bowl? Like, did you watch the Nickelodeon stream or the CBS stream? Just curious.
Go for
Isaiah,
it.
If you want to go. Oh, yeah, go for it. Okay. Thank you, Isaiah. I was like, Isaiah, go for it. And you're like, no. I'm like, all right. I believe we were just watching on CBS. So because there were so many CBS ads for CBS shows. So that was, yeah, that's where I was watching it.
Same.
All and right, Isaiah would have
Yeah, CBS, but I actually watched it on my phone, though. Today's my 50th birthday, so I was out to dinner.
Happy birthday!
Yeah, no, oh, my gosh.
Thank you, I appreciate it. I popped an earbud in and just put the phone down and just listened to or watched it.
You were like, I'm just so grateful that you're all at my dinner, and I'm sort of here, too.
Oh, my God, that's amazing. But by the way,
that's
the proper way to watch the Super Bowl on your birthday.
Now it is.
On your phone. On an iPhone.
Yeah, very 2024 of you, too.
Well, you missed a lot on the Nickelodeon stream, guys. It was truly incredible. You missed a lot. A lot of slime.
I heard SpongeBob and Patrick, they were the commentators, right? That's hilarious.
I brought it up in our early half of the conversation with Molly and Bill. But SpongeBob and Patrick were commentating. There was like four commentators, two like professional ones, and then of course SpongeBob and Patrick. And it was insane, honestly. It was chaotic and amazing in all the best ways. It's actually the only way I'll watch football now.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. Good to know.
Yeah.
Made spot the on also watching with kids. So that feels
brilliant.
Right.
That's brilliant. We missed that.
Well, I watched on the Televisa Univision stream, but there was an overlap of ads, and we work at Adweek, so we saw most of these ads before tonight anyway. So we can speak to it. Let's hop right to it. All right, so we came up with some fun superlatives, some fun prizes of the night to get some hot takes here. So the first one is the ad that made you spit out your bevy. So the funniest or shocking ad. Erin, let's start with you.
Without thinking, the one that really came out for me was the Dunkings ad, where it was like Ben and J-Lo, and just like, it was like, oh my God, what are they doing? What is happening here? What is this like dance routine that's going on? And then like Matt Damon on the side, like being embarrassed, like, and J-Lo being embarrassed. I don't know. That one was a spit. It was like a spit your drink out for me, where I was like, what is happening? So I was entertained. I was entertained.
People seemed entertained by that one. Isaiah, what about you?
I did like that one. It wasn't the spit out your bevy for me, but I did like that one as well. For me, the funniest one, it had to be Reese's for me. I like that kind of humor, though. I'm a little partial to Mr. Coleman, so I'm watching it and I'm going, oh, I can see what he did there. So I just enjoyed that. The yelling always gets me. So
anything that elicits a reaction or emotion is always good.
Yeah.
Al, what about you?
I had the Dunkin' one initially, and I think I might stick with that because it does fit in a lot of categories, though. I was trying to spread the wealth a little bit. The one going into the Super Bowl, one that we saw in advance that I have been singing the praises of, is the Paramount Plus ad with everyone. There's a million people in it, but I mean, Creed and Hey Arnold in the same ad. It's like fourth grade me's like dream ad,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah.
But the Dunkin' ad was fantastic. So I'll throw it to Dunkin'.
Yeah. No, I would say, I don't know, the Uber Eats commercials like kind of got some chuckles out of me. So I would say that's my vote. But that also ties into the next one, which is the ad that invited the right celebs to dinner, aka the best celeb cameo. And I wonder, does that overlap with your first choices, guys? Isaiah, do you want to go first?
I think mine overlaps with everyone else's first choice, because I thought the Dunkings was the was probably the best that invited the right celebs to dinner. I like when you get a duo arguing. Doesn't matter who it is, Batman or Robin. It doesn't matter. Yep. I love that. So to me, that was like right on time.
They had
that comedic timing, right? Where you just like could see Matt Damon being like, God, I'm so embarrassed to be here. That was so funny. I loved the Michael CeraVe one.
Oh my
because
God.
Like it was just like because it wasn't even the commercial itself. It was like how it ended with him being like in this room and he's like, cause like my name is Sarah, like CeraVe, and these like doctors are like, dude, who are you? You know? And so like as a person who has spent 15 years in agency, just kind of like knowing that whole space where you're like trying to pitch something and people are like, yeah, it's just not landing. I just thought that was hilarious because I'm like, oh shit, yeah, Michael, Sarah, and CeraVe. I'd never put those two together, but I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
There's something about that I thought about just how it was pitched that made me laugh. Like I was like someone like every other pitch was kind of just like, we don't like it. Anything else? And he's like, well, I kind of got this Michael Cera thing. And, you know,
right?
Throws it out. And you're like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And like, we were like watching it happen because Michael Cera was like, it's like me. And they're like, no, it's
very
like,
meta.
So meta.
Yeah. And also, though, you know what it reminded me of the whole like Solo Stove Snoop Dogg ad that like was like, loved and hated or whatever. I still stand by that creative. I thought it was catchy as hell. It was funny, and they did it with the right person who was Snoop Dogg, and in this case, it worked with Michael Cera.
Yeah. Yeah, great. That was good.
All right. So we're unofficially calling these the Probablys. That's our Grammy or Emmy. And I think we're going to go back and give the first one to Duncan. And we'll give this one to Sarah V, because I think we're all on the same page.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, for
sure. Excellent. All right. Retroactively
yes.
awarding. That's
yes.
the name of the game.
And then, Al, would you say Sarah V, I guess, you're aligned?
Oh, yeah.
With
I'm aligned
decision.
With that.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, just it's like it's that equal parts of like dumb and brilliant that yeah. make a Super Bowl ad great.
We love it. Yeah. We love dumb. Yeah. And yeah. brilliant.
Yep. Dumb and brilliant.
Simple, dumb and brilliant. Yeah.
The next probably is for the ad that made you want to actually buy the goods, which is the best ad showcasing the product or service, kind of what it's all about, kind of stray a little far from there. But what ad would you guys say? Erin, let's start with you.
I wrote down the Copilot Microsoft, the Watch Me one, where like, it was all of the lead up for each of the different sort of ways that this particular app could work were about like, you don't believe I can do this. Like, you know, I've been underestimated. You don't think I'm smart enough. You think I'm too young to, you know, to be able to change the world, and I'm too old to learn something new. And then like the sort of that line was like, watch me. And I just feel like anyone who's ever felt underestimated watched that and felt like, damn, I need to get that just in case. Yeah. Like, I'm going to start a company like while I'm at my 50th birthday, like sitting at dinner, and I like want to make sure I get going quickly. So it made me want to look into it. And that didn't really happen for me with any other products, because they're either products I already knew about, but this one was like, oh shit, all right, that's like an entrepreneurial highlight right there.
Yeah, I feel like that's also so on brand for you, like considering everything that you do and you like to, you know, work
on. I'm like,
on
can
and...
I buy another URL today that yes. we might turn into a business, or just I'll just keep it because it's like, you know, $20 a month. No big deal.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's true. And that's like a very thorough analysis. I love that about Microsoft. Isaiah, what about you?
You know, none, to tell you the truth. I'll be honest. Right. I didn't really want to run out and buy anything. But what made me curious was the Temu ads, because yes. it said shop like a billionaire. I was like, well, okay. I've heard negative things about the company. So yeah. I was like, but it made me curious enough to go like, I'll go on there and check it out, because I'm just curious to see, one, how can I shop like a billionaire? And two, is it as what people say it is? I wanted to see if it lived up to both negative and positive reviews.
Yeah. And what'd you think when you jumped on there?
I mean, we'll see when I get the baby proofing items that I ordered.
Okay, so you are participating in the comments. I love
it. I definitely jumped on and like ordered some stuff because it was really cheap. And I'm like, all right, I hope this is like, you know, I hope this stuff works and hope it's like non-toxic. So we'll see, you know.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Well, and like Isaiah, it was on four times. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if that was different in different markets, but like I was like, yo, this is the fourth time this full ad, the exact same ad, has been run. And there must be some method to that, right? Where it's like, all right, man, they're hitting us over the head with
it. Yeah, fourth time, that's when I said, all right, I'll do it. Let me just.
Yeah.
That's like.
And it worked.
It worked. It yeah. worked. Right. $24 million and Temu got Isaiah's money.
But I didn't go buy a home, though. My home died.
No.
Oh, that didn't work on you?
No, that one I was like.
It's sad. The biggest takeaway that I got from the Temu ads was I've been saying it wrong this whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been around for like 3 years. I thought it was Temu.
I thought it was Temu, too.
Yep.
Same.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll probably
maybe that was actually part of their strategy as well. Yeah. They're like, listen, we don't even care if you come on, but stop saying it wrong.
Yeah,
I also thought, I was like, you guys could use a spokesperson.
yeah,
I hear it.
Do I have the spokesperson for you?
No, anybody?
Yeah. I was like, you know what? Let me reach out.
Right? Like, let me just like brighten this up a bit. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe use that third or fourth $10 million ad to just switch it up.
Maybe.
Yeah. It spent like $30 million in
on animation.
Like an hour and a half.
Wild.
Luis, what was your pick?
For the one that made me want to buy the goods. Okay, so I cheated a little bit because I already use this service, but Etsy, like I said, it's like one of the apps I'm on all the time, like that and Pinterest, like because I'm just like a basica, like I just love all that stuff, you know. It's like, so Etsy, I just felt like they went back in history, and that could have been cheesy, but it nailed exactly what the service is, and it was in like a whole different time period, but they did it so seamlessly, and it was just like, I don't know, it got another chuckle out of me. So that's why I that one had my vote.
I'm going to agree with that one, and nothing against Temu or anyone else, but there's something about making an ad that is directly going to impact so many people with, I mean, like how many like small business owners use Etsy? It's a crazy amount. That's what the company's built off of. And like, I kind of like love that. Obviously Etsy is going to make money off both, you know, the purchases and, you know, all the advertisement, all that kind of stuff. But like, there's something about just like, oh, so many people are going to go to Etsy for the first time because of this ad. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
So
that yeah. Cool. Yeah. The scenario was funny to me. Like, what would, you know, the U.S. gift back to France if that they wanted to thank you?
Cheese board. Like, cheese board. Right?
Cheese board. Perfect.
So it was good.
The one-upmanship. I like that, too. Like, we have to set now.
All right, the next one. Okay, this one's important. The ad that best reflected today's world in terms of diversity and inclusivity. This has been quite a topic for the past few years. So let's hear it. Isaiah, let's start with you.
This was a tough one for me because I couldn't really, just based off of diversity and inclusion, like I even thought about adding the T-Mobile commercial in there because I was like, that's multicultural. Look at all the guys. And then I was thinking like, but what is the one that I was like, it got me after the fact is the Google Pixel commercial. It was blurry. And then when I saw the couple, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's like a very subtle way of like, kind of like going like, hey, this is our world today, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I had that in another category that we're going to get to in a little bit. So it could be a two-time award winner depending on your other picks, but that was a great choice. Yeah. Such a good ad. Yep. Didn't understand it at first, too. I was too slow. I think the Nickelodeon stream kind of melted my brain a little bit, as well as my child trying to dive off the couch every 3 seconds.
Right. You're like, hold on. Is this sophisticated? Because I need to be hit over the head. Yeah. Like, I need to be, it was a little
obvious.
Yeah.
What about you, Erin?
I really, like, the one that just sort of made the room go quiet for me was the Stand Up to Jewish Hate. Stand Up to All Hate, because again, as they were showing sort of different scenes, it was all of the different, you know, historically excluded groups that continue to fight for their rights to exist, and that are constantly, you know, in these battles every single day. And so I felt like it was rallying everyone together and saying, we've all got different fights, but we need to stop all hate, right? So that one to me, I felt was just like, whew, okay, that was a powerful, intense commercial.
Yeah. And a little more about that. So that's the Robert Kraft Foundation to Combat Anti-Semitism. And that comes after Robert Kraft actually matched $100 million donation from the Norman R. Rouse and Ruth Rouse Foundation. I think I'm saying that wrong, resulting in over $200 million that was raised. This was before the ad was released. Before that. So incredible.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. Al, what about you?
Oh man. I mean, it's hard to kind of top that one. I kind of want to give it to that just to put a little more, to put more eyes on that. So I'm going to actually have to agree with Erin on that one. It was very moving. I had to catch it after the fact because, again, Nickelodeon did not show that, surprisingly.
Yeah. I don't even want to say what my pick was because I'm just going to sound.
Oh, no, it's got to be good. You got to tell us now.
It was the NFL shop.
That was good.
No, only it. Because I felt like it was also my ads were a little bit not limited on the Televisa stream, but they were different. But the NFL, I don't know. It was the first time that I was like watching and I was like, oh, wow, like different groups. Like they had like older groups. They had younger. They had LGBTQ. They had, you know, Black, Latino, everything. And, you know, maybe that could be like a box checking kind of a thing. But I also feel like NFL is like now they're really walking the walk and they're really trying hard. And even a simple ad like that caught my eye. So,
you know, speaking of trying hard, I'd say the Jesus Feet commercial was pretty multicultural also.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
The message was kind of mixed for me. Like I was kind of, I mean, I got it at the end because I was like, oh, cool. It's a religious commercial. You know, whatever you're into, it might serve its purpose. But it was really, it came across as like, hey, it's weird to say like, but Jesus is for everyone. You know, like the way it was said, it was. I was like, okay, I get that. But that's like, I don't know where you place that. You know, like the message came across kind of mixed for me, but. I think they did try to appeal to all like diversities and everything. They gave it a shot, you know?
Yep. No, you're totally right. I forgot about that one.
One of the better religious, I mean, let's try this again. Probably the best religious ad that is run. I remember, I guess it was either last year or 2 years ago where there was a few and we were just like, what's happening? Like these are some strange, they just popped up in strange spots and we kind of weren't expecting them. And then we were just like, wow, we're getting a lot of religion thrown at us, but at least this one was a little more impactful.
It's hard being a religion. It's hard to advertise.
It's a hard business.
It's hard to advertise a religion, you know, no matter what it is, because, you know, you're like, you know, somebody's going to be, you know, gunning against you. So you're just doing your best out there, you know.
Doing your best.
You're so right. Let's give it up for the marketing teams who have to advertise religion. That's a tough one. Sure. I would not be able to do it.
I'm gonna give that one to the Robert Kraft Foundation to combat anti-Semitism. That's getting the problems from us because me and Aaron said so.
Yes. Okay.
That's right.
And it's a great cause.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So probably for the ad you were most hyped about seeing. So this is for the ad with the best teasers and the buildup. We see the teasers like leading up. This is kind of common now. For me, it was CeraVe. But I'm curious to hear what you guys want to have to say. I forget whose turn it is to start.
It's Birthday Boy's turn.
Birthday Boy.
Well I didn't have one that I was excited to see. I did have Eric Coleman texting me about Reese's a lot. So naturally, I was like, all right, let me see this Reese's commercial, you know. But I mean, that was only because he like has a hotline, you know. Like so I was like, all right, let's see it. But I did the beer commercial with I did a spot with him, a Super Bowl spot with him. Oh man, why am I blanking on his name? Oh my goodness, he's like in every like Will Ferrell movie too. He like plays an amazing. He's always like a good co-star. Oh my gosh, I can't think of his name.
John C. Reilly?
No.
Are you talking about the one on the beach, like with Messi?
No, not that one. The one that they're running. He's body painted. I think it's like Bud Light or. Oh my gosh! Why am I blanking on his name? I'll come back to me. I'll figure it out. I'll Google right now. Find it.
Because there were a bunch of. I'm trying to figure out which beer one because it was like there was definitely Mick Ultra, Budweiser.
Yeah, I'll find it. I'm sorry, guys. Like,
it's
my birthday.
Listen, I thought you were maybe talking about the one with
Rob Riggle.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
There we go.
I've had a few glasses of wine.
You were gonna wake up at 3 a.m. and scream Rob Riggle's name.
I'm glad that you got there sooner. I am. I'm really glad.
Yeah.
I am too.
Okay, so remind me. I'm blanking. Remind me which one this was.
Okay, so this is probably for the ad you are most hyped about seeing.
No. I'm trying. What the one Isaiah is talking about? I'm trying to remember the ad.
Running of the beer ads is what it was called.
Oh,
Miller Lite.
Okay.
I'll
have to think about it.
I got to check out. I think I was in the restroom. Or breaking up a fight between children.
I say you were a part of my favorite campaign of all time, and it's not what you think. It's
David Harbour?
It's David Harbour.
Yeah, I trust me, I hear that a lot. Like that actually is. It's a P&G ad. So, but yeah, I always hear like, which one? And they're like, not Old Spice.
Yeah, and I love Old Spice.
David Harbour. I'm like, oh, I got the butt. technically it is Old Spice. So
yeah,
it is.
Right? You're like, you were tricked.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Yeah.
Okay. That's makes me feel better.
Yeah.
But yeah, so going back to the kind of the most hyped about seeing CeraVe, was I think that what had the most, not just hype surrounding it, but kind of mystery in the sense that, like, the way that they started was kind of grassroots, a little guerrilla marketing style with TikTok. And, like, they were having, like influencers, like, talking about Michael CeraVe. And then I remember seeing one TikTok of, like, someone walking into, like, a Walgreens and he's, like, standing in front of an end cap and he's signing CeraVe bottles and then he just, like, walks away. And it was just, like, weird.
That's
just weird. And that's the, like I said, like, weird, dumb, kind of crazy. Like, that's the kind of ads that are always going to stick with you and be memorable. And I just love that. It's just like, oh, Michael CeraVe. Like, it's so odd, and I liked the so weird kind of grassrootsy way that they approached the lead up into it, because they could have really done it up in a different way where a lot of the bigger brands do, but they did. I think they did it in a cool way, at least.
Yeah, well, they could have just done the commercial, and then it wouldn't have been the same.
No.
Yeah. Yes.
We're going
to
say,
and
Aaron?
you have to have someone like Michael Cera to do this type of ad, right? Yeah. His humor's so dry, and he's like, his comedic timing makes it so that, like, it's always like, is this funny or awkward? Mm-hmm. I don't know which one. Like, am I laughing or, like, are you being serious?
Right.
Yeah. So that, so much of who he is and what he brought to that is why it works so well. And that doesn't, like, you can't plan that. You can't plan, like, hey, we're going to start a company named CeraVe, and then maybe in, like, 10 or 15 years, there's going to be a kid who's, like, a really strange acting career, and is going to just mash up. Like, that stuff just – it just doesn't – it doesn't – it's like there's no long game there. It either works or it doesn't. But but my answer to this question was sort of what Isaiah was saying about, like, were you excited to buy something? I didn't really – have a lot of hype going into this about any of the ads I was seeing. I didn't actually see that whole marketing of CeraVe leading up to it. So I was really, like, hit over the head when I saw the commercial. But the only one I had seen a ton about was the Uber Eats one with, like, Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, man, this is a pretty heavy cast here that they've got pulling this. And I think it's a funny idea that you have to forget something to remember. Like, I liked that. I liked that hook.
Yeah.
Because then when they set that up for each person, the thing that they had to forget was, like, hilarious. Right. And some of it was, like, people that we think that I'm blanking on his name, the dude with the tattoos on his face.
Post Malone. Oh, no, wait.
It wasn't Post.
It wasn't Post.
The other dude with the tattoos.
My wife said the same thing, though. She's like, he's been in two. And I'm like, who? She's like, Post Malone. I go, oh, that wasn't Post Malone.
I know. It's like, no, it's the other dude who someone took a Sharpie and wrote on his face. Right. Oh, and that's why that was so funny, because I forgot his name, whoever that dude is, in the commercial. He's looking in the mirror and he's like, oh my God, someone wrote on my face, because he forgot he got tattoos all over. And we think that, right? And so, like, so much of the stuff that's funny is, like, there's an inherent truth to it that, like, not everyone has talked about. And so that's why I thought that one was funny. But yeah, I'm happy to hear that there was a bigger campaign around CeraVe, because I didn't really see it.
Yeah, it was Jelly Roll.
Excuse me.
Some quick Googling. And it's
nice.
Jelly Roll. I did see that.
That's good, Googling there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're like face tat. It's like Post Malone.
I put Jelly Roll. Uber Eats Celebrities.
Oh, that's nice.
It's more suave. Yeah.
We also did coverage on this, so Al and I should really be referencing our own articles on this, because I remember now that Terry, I think, wrote up about it. So what is the general consensus then for this one, the one that we were most hyped about seeing? I feel like we all had different answers.
Yeah, but I think we all came around to CeraVe, right?
Yeah, CeraVe, yeah.
Thanks.
Yes. Okay, so this next one actually kind of ties into the last one. So this is probably for the ad that needed a little more buffalo sauce. So the ad that may have fallen a little flat or a missed opportunity. And I don't like to, like, really call something a flop, because at the end of the day, there were creative teams and a bunch of people behind all these commercials.
Agreed.
So, you know, Like, what could have used a little more spice? And I would say the whole Verizon Beyonce teaser, I thought there was – we were all expecting something bigger, I think, right?
Wow. No, I disagree.
Why? What do you think?
Because I didn't expect anything. So it didn't, like – it's not that it didn't leave up to my, like, expectation. I feel like I found out about it, like, 2 days ago, and I work for Adweek. So it's like – you know what I mean? Like, I was just like – anything is, and honestly, I was so surprised that she was funny. This is like gold member Beyonce, which I love. I loved her in that movie, and she is funny. But every time I see her now in award shows, she looks so unapproachably amazing. Like she's like otherworldly.
I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
She's otherworldly at this point. Yeah. Where
there's always like some kind of breeze like in front of her, where her hair is just like
the hair is always blowing.
It's like an aura. Like she's not on this. Like she's not on this physical plane anymore.
She isn't.
She's not.
Yeah.
But
so you're right. This like humanized this, her this like brought her down to like feet on the ground next to us.
And she was fun and funny, she has that ability. We've seen it before. It's just been 20 years. Since we've seen it last, because I think Goldmember came out like 2003.
Yeah,
but
man,
right?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. So I disagree.
You guys don't remember Carmen, the hip hopper on MTV? She was the star of that. Come on, that was.
I do.
Hip-hopera. You remember?
I do remember.
Yeah,
this.
The hip hopper. I thought at the time it was iconic and groundbreaking, and I rented it again a few years ago, and I just
how was it? Oh, was it still groundbreaking?
Yeah, totally.
No. I think we briefly mentioned my pick, but it was that Holmes.com one. That was just like that. Yeah, 7 million. That's what you're gonna do.
Yeah. I know that one. I saw some chatter around that for sure.
There's a
bunch. Aaron, what about you? It was what?
There was a bunch of those. So
yeah,
I'm sorry. Go, please.
I'm like, I want to hear the roundup. Isaiah's like, nope.
Again, I understand that people, you know, there were creative teams around these things, so you can't really like, you know, you don't want to crap on anybody's like, you know, baby. But Starry Lemon Lime didn't do anything for me. What Starry did is make me go like, oh, what's Starry?
Not in a way that made you want to go like seek out Starry.
Yeah, it made me. I honestly felt like I was like, man, that's what you spent it on. Okay, you could have done a little something else. All right, cool.
Yeah. And it's funny because Starry, I've just been seeing it everywhere. Like, you know, you go to the Knicks game and they're all over, like, the out of home and the inside too and everything. And I just feel like the same thing I keep hearing, Isaiah, is like, what is Starry? You know, so. Yeah.
You're like, is that like spray?
Or yeah, like, that's what everyone keeps saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. I think it is.
I think it's similar. Yes.
Yeah.
It would have been cool if they told us what it was.
Right. So you're like, there's that part where it's like, you know what? We're probably still at a stage with your brand where we need to be educated. You can't just say Reese's, right? You can't just say Nike. Like, there's still that phase of like, you are not so iconic yet that you don't have to remind people and use a CYAQ, like cover your ass qualifier. Like, what are you?
I mean, there's your ad there. That. You know what I mean? Like, honestly. Like,
Yep. And Aaron, what about you?
Like the Oreo one, that one was just like, I was just kind of like, I think I literally was like, what? Like, I mean, because again, like lots of celebs in that. And it was like, and Oreo again, iconic and like so much nostalgia for it. I felt like no one really played into like the nostalgia of some of these like legacy brands. Like, so I was just, I literally was like, what?
Aaron, you nailed it.
that reminds me, one of our reporters, Robert Clara, his expertise is like these like in-depth analytical pieces. And he just wrote a piece about how many celebs is like, when is enough, you know, because this is like, it's people are like, the brands are dishing out all the money. But like, then if it falls flat or it could use a little more spice. So, it's a very good question that I think.
It also felt like the joke was like, all right, you did it once. I got it. You know, and just kept going and go. I was like, all right, but it's now. Okay, great. Right. Like,
yeah.
But like, still not. Yeah.
Yep.
For sure.
Yeah.
Luke, did you say yours?
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, the ad that needed a little more buffalo sauce. You know what, guys? I'm going to plug in the ads on Televisa Univision. Like, so I watched it, right, with my coworker Colin. And the ads to me that won were the ones that really put in the effort to speak to the Spanish audience. So it was like the ones that didn't just dub Spanish over the English, you know, yeah. the English ad, like, I will leave some of the brand names out. But the ones that really put in the effort. But I would say if I had to, like, group, like, collective, where those were the ads that fell flat to me. It's, like, the equivalent of, like, someone showing up and be like, hey, showed up. All right, I'm out. You know?
Right. Box checking, very performative.
Yeah, yeah. So those – but, yeah, it was, like, a collective of it. But, yeah.
I didn't give a reason to why hotels didn't work for me, but I'm going to say it. I don't – or not hotels, homes.com. I don't think they ever were in a home, and I think that's a big selling point for the – you know what I mean?
Right. Is it towns.com or homes.com? Yeah.
It's like doing a Reese's one and not showing a Reese's cup.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the equivalent. That's why I had that one there for me. Luce, I'm going to leave it up to you. Who gets the probably for a little more buffalo sauce needed?
What was it? We said Starry or we said Holmes?
Starry, Holmes.
Yeah. Those were, I think, the two Oreo. Big ones.
And Oreo.
Oh, or Oreo. Yeah. You know what? I saw a lot of chatter about the Holmes.com one. Like, everyone was just kind of like, huh? You know? So I would say a little more spice.
A little more spice on Holmes.
Why yeah. am I blanking on
Starry,
his name?
The
actor, the Dan famous Levy. Actor. And I love Dan Levy, right?
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Yeah.
I love both of
right?
them,
right? Like, you're just like, you're like, that's what you're they like, were you have Dan Levy, right? Like, come on,
right.
What are we doing?
Right.
That's what I think. Like, it was. I was like, oh my god, yes, Dan Levy. And then I was like, what is this? Like,
yeah.
So yeah, I think that's the other. That's the risk of bringing in like a huge celeb is that like you're gonna give like if that was just a random person, then you would be like, I don't know what's going on here. But like when it's Dan Levy and it doesn't land, you're like, what went wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, right? For sure.
You never showed a home. That's what like, you never showed,
showed
home.
A town.
You're literally called homes.com.
Yeah, there you go.
Like literally.
Yes, they would be the contender there.
For sure. All right. The probably for the ad that deserves a round of applause. These are noteworthy ads that tickled our fancy. This is our penultimate probably. And we got one more after this. So which ad do you guys think maybe deserves a round of applause that isn't going to be talked about like a lot of these high-profile ones that we've been talking about already? I will start with Isaiah, because I feel like he actually has an answer so far for us.
Yeah, I mean, I do, and it always like first of all, I'm just not political. I do have issues that I stand by, but when it comes to like, I'm an independent, so you know, but Kennedy for president did tickle that nostalgic. Like, you know, spot in my heart. And I was like, that's kind of cool. I go, I got to, you know what, that if I'm like, that made me feel kind of like, oh, that's kind of cool. I see what you're doing there. And that it's a throwback. And it just kind of made me think like, you know, as far as like, you know, it'd be kind of cool to say like, hey, you know, I'm of this lineage, you know, this is what, you know, this is what we do. You know, we run
right,
the president.
Right, like,
you know,
right.
So it was kind of cool just to see that, you know, like I said, I'm not like pumping anybody's campaign. I'm just saying, that was just kind of, for me, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good
that's
angle.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Very good point.
I wrote a couple down, and so nothing is really the winner, I think. It's whatever we talk about here, but I loved seeing Beyonce in that way. And so I thought that she was really funny. And so I was like, all right, cool. I like what I'm seeing here. And like, I had Etsy down too, but you know, Etsy is taken another category for us. The Dove Women in Sports, what I liked about it is it really, like, I was sitting with some parents of girls and they were like, oh my God, by age 14, half of them are going to drop out because of their body. So like, okay, cool. Let's keep that conversation going. Let's keep talking about that. Let's keep paying attention to that and using that information to make different choices. But like the one where I was just like, oh my God, what is that? Like the mayo one with Kate McKinnon. Like, I was just, first of all, I'm just like, oh, mayo, you know, like, all right, mayo. Like, yes. Mayo is delicious. But it was just like, it was such a random ad and they did it well. Like, it was executed well and like, it was so simple, right? It's a cat going like, mayo instead of meow. Like, that's it. That's it. It's simple, right? It's simple. It's not, there's nothing more to get about it. And like, and then it's what happens when something has virality. So I thought that, I was like, that was funny.
Yeah. And you know what I liked about that one? It was like the cheesy humor. It worked. Kate McKinnon was the right person for that. They even like, you know, gave a little nod to Pete Davidson, who's also, you know, done that ad. And I was pleasantly surprised, too, because I feel like they've needed a little more spice over the last few years, their spots.
Yeah.
Agreed. Al, what about you?
I think for me, and I just want to make sure I got the naming right. So it's NFL Makes Its Football the World Game was our kind of slogan for NFL tracker. Jesus, our ad week tracker that we have. It was like showing how the NFL is going to global markets. I liked how they included different NFL athletes, but just the momentum of it was a lot of fun and it was very engaging. So if you guys haven't basically checked this out, it's just showing that how the NFL is kind of spreading out globally. They're, you know, every year they're adding different cities that they're trying to, bring the game to in a different way. And, this one was focused on Ghana. And it had, Saquon Barkley and Justin Jefferson, two stars in the NFL, in it as well. It was just fun. They always make really solid ads. I feel like they're underrated with their, when they did their 100th ad, which was great at like the award ceremony. That was incredible too. Like they just make really good ads.
Yeah.
Good job, NFL.
It's something happens when you have a lot of money.
Yeah. Crazy.
Big things happen.
You know, you just, if you use it correctly.
If you got that Temu money, you know what I mean?
You got just that make Temu a lot of money. Right. Yeah. Temu.
Yeah. Isaiah, that's you next year.
I mean, Isaiah's like, all right.
Listen.
Isaiah's Temu agent is calling Temu up tomorrow.
I mean, please.
Let's hope they're calling my agent tomorrow.
That's right.
You know, always call me directly.
We endorse this idea.
We do.
Yep. For me, I'm just going to give a little shout to T-Mobile, the spot with Bradley Cooper and his mom, the Suits guys, Donald Faison and Zach Braff, Jennifer Hudson. It was just like, I don't know. It was like a good combination of like, I don't know. And everybody, it was a good cast, good casting. And they all played into it so well and it didn't feel forced. And it was actually like really funny. And I love all the people in it. So that was my vote.
That was cool. But I kind of felt like it was just a little inside baseball because of self-taping, you know. I was like, man, that's kind of, you know, do people get that's what's going on, is that they're self-taping and everybody's doing it from their home and they have to do it from their home now because of what we went through in the pandemic and everything. I was wondering that, but I know it hit home for me. Like, I liked it for that reason too. I was like, oh, that's cute, like, that's funny, like, I get that, like, yeah, people are doing their garage, somebody hits the garage and you're like, hey, like, seriously, like, that was a good one, you know.
Right. Yeah, right. That's the part that got me. Yeah. I wonder that too. Like, I was like, is this in their own homes or is it, you know, I was wondering that, but I liked it. It had like a little bit of a raw, like unedited feel.
I forgot about that one. And I really liked that one too. I also liked that it was kind of a little tease because that they ended it with Braff and Faison, and then the Braff and Faison came back for like their full ad with Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
So kind of props for that. I think let's give it to
our that's a good one.
T-Mobile.
Nice. All right,
last
okay.
one.
Yes, go for it, Al.
This is probably the ad that almost made you stream tears. Let's try this again. Luz wrote it out as the streamed ad that almost made you stream tears, which is way better.
Nice.
So, guys, best tearjerker one. For me, it's already been mentioned, which was the Google Pixel one. I thought that was incredibly well done. And again, reminder, I didn't get half of it until the end. I didn't get the whole thing until the end because my brain was fried from being a parent. But, oh, man, that other half just resonated with me really well.
Yep.
And I mean that, and that's how they landed the plane, was with the baby being born, right? Yep. It was like, yeah, you could hear that that's what was going to happen, because it kept, it's like, all right, they're repeating this, right? So they're leading the horse to water. If our kid isn't jumping off of something, we could like start to think about it. I see two people. And you're like, okay. And then you're like, I'm seeing their relationship build. I'm seeing this is like, okay, now they're like living together. You're watching that. And then it's like, oh my God, are they going to see three people? I mean, yeah, that was just like, it was like, oh God.
Oh. Mommy, why are you crying?
I know, right? Something in my eye, there's a Torito in my eye. Yeah, no, I mean, it was very well done. Very well done. And it was that lead up, right? It was like, and that it's helping to build, it's helping to lessen the empathy gap of like, I don't know what it's like to have that experience. And so let me show you, this is what it would actually look like if this were your experience. So much of the time we have to really actually have people walk in someone else's shoes before they know.
Yep.
So I thought they did a really great job of that.
Agreed. Isaiah, birthday boy. What about you?
You know when an ad starts out and it's so serious that you're like, okay, wait, like where's the joke coming? Like you're waiting for this joke. Well, the anti-bullying ad was that for me, because I was like, all right, like they're being really serious here. When is it? And I was like, oh man, like that. One.
Yeah.
And then I was just like hooked. And I was like, okay. Gosh. Yeah. I was like, that was deep. I got it. I got it.
Yeah.
So for me, it was the anti-bullying ad.
Yeah. All of the ones that, had deep. I would say I would put Dove under this too. I think Dove nailed it with
definitely.
That too.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So it's a mirage of responses now.
It's a mirage.
It's a mirage.
Luce, this is your podcast. I'm going to leave it up to you. Who gets it?
No.
Can't give it to four.
It's your podcast.
Four brands are not going to go up on the podium for this fake award. You have to pick one.
Yeah.
Fake awards are very important.
It's so important. We made these up almost a week ago.
They're the best awards.
You know what? I'm going to give this one to the anti-bullying ad, because that one is, it's important. And
absolutely. Well, that does it for the probablys. Thank you guys for being a part of our first annual superlatives for the Super Bowl. This has been so much fun. Isaiah, thank you for joining us on your birthday. I can't believe it. You should have responded when we said, would you like to join us? But like, no.
Hail
Maybe next time.
Hail no.
You know, when Timu is putting height in your lap like this, you know, who's gonna say no to that? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, you just listen. You got to mood, and so you followed. You followed the Timu. You said it enough times now. Like, let's make sure that we work this into your contract, that you are paid for the number of times you said it on this pod.
There you go.
And
like,
can we get some? Yeah. Wait,
what's one?
Timu.
Who? Yeah, exactly. Ooh, there is it.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. There you go.
Timu.
I got it. I really got hope a million. We see you. We're gonna keep going.
All right. I really hope we see you in the big game next year, Isaiah.
And Erin, thank you so much. We always love having another parent on the podcast who is going through it, which is great. Real quick before we let you guys go, any plugs? Where can people find you? I'll start with Erin. Where can people find you? And if you want to plug anything, this is a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah, you can find me. I spend most of my time online on LinkedIn.
I love your post, Erin.
Thank you.
I always relate to them. They're always
Great. Listen, it's the world's largest online workforce. We've got more than 1 billion people on there. So it's a great place to have conversations and to start to change what we talk about in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Right? We get to decide. It's our decision. That's what's different about platforms like that. So you can find me there. And you can learn more about the Hype Women movement and everything that we're doing to really push a different way forward for women to stop viewing one another as threats and competition, and to decondition from that and really start to think about how we are collectively going to make the world a better, more equitable place at hypewomen.com.
Amazing.
Amen, sister.
And then, Isaiah, where can people Where can people find
you? At Temu.com. You can find Isaiah, the newest spokesperson.
You said it, not me, but hey. Let's see. You can go to my Instagram at Isaiah Mustafa. That's, I don't post as much as I used to, but usually if it's fun and engaging or something that I want to kind of get people's awareness around, I'll post for the most part. Also, I have a movie coming out April
26th. Yeah. Oh, casual.
What? Casual.
Yeah.
Casual.
You
what?
Said if there's anything you want to promote. So
yes. I got a movie. What?
Yeah, it's
tell
called
me more.
It's called Boy Kills World. Stars Bill Skarsgård, Michelle Dockery, Brett Gelman, Charlton Copley, and a host of others. But yeah,
amazing!
Congrats, that's so exciting.
Yeah,
congrats.
And then I have a TV show coming to Prime.
Let's go. This is it. Plug City.
It's called.
Also, thank God I went first, because if I had to follow this, I'd be like,
You guys,
I keep going.
I'm not going to plug. That's it. I can't follow this.
Coming out sometime later this year. It's called Cross. It'll be on Prime. It follows the detective Alex Cross and his amazingly handsome partner John Sampson, played by one Isaiah Mustafa. So.
Let's go.
All right, John.
I can't wait.
Bonjour, John.
That sounds amazing.
That's
it. I'm done.
I can't wait. I cannot wait to see those Temu ads running next to that Prime show. It's gonna be like, what is? It's just a 360-degree Isaiah experience.
I love it. I love it. Thank you, guys. You guys both rock. Thank you so much. Al, I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you for listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, part of the Adweek Podcast Network and Acast Creator Network. This podcast was produced by me, Al Manarino, executive produced by Chris Ahrens and John Heil, and edited by Lane McGivney at Boutwell Studios. You can listen and subscribe to all of Adweek's podcasts by visiting adweek.com/podcasts. Stay updated on all things Adweek Podcast Network by following us on Twitter at Adweek Podcast. And if you have a question or suggestion for the show, send us an email at podcast@adweek.com. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hatch, because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content, so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.